I wanted to talk about the resignation of the chief executive of WA's Child and Adolescent Health Service, or CAS as it's known, which of course is the body that oversees Perth Children's Hospital. So effectively, Arish Anwar is the boss of Perth Children's Hospital, and he's resigned. He's given his resignation to the WA Department of Health effective today. Oh, it was a very quick decision by the looks of things, and it's a very quick exit. As of close of business today, Arish Anwar is out the door. Now, he offered that same resignation 15 months ago, and it was rejected then, of course, when he offered it in the weeks following the tragic death of Aishwarya Ashworth at the hospital last April. The report that was released in November last year, we spoke about it on this program then, revealed, of course, extensive problems with the hospital's handling of her case, hospital that Arish Anwar is in charge of. But the coronial inquest into Aishwarya's death will begin the week after next, in just 12 days' time. Joining us this morning is Suresh Rajan, who has been an advocate for Aishwarya's family, long-time advocate, and advocate for a lot of people on the Ethnic Communities Council. Suresh, good morning.
Good morning, Liam.
Suresh, what do you think about the timing of this? Just 12 days out from the coroner's inquest. It's unusual, isn't it?
It's incredibly worrying as well, Liam. The reality is that this man actually came here from England. And so what's to prevent him going back to England or going to wherever he wishes to continue his career as a doctor, as a medical administrator? So that could happen as early as tomorrow. We have no idea whether that can be prevented by a coroner's inquest. Is there something that the coroner can do to ensure that he remains here? Because I would have thought that given that both the internal inquiry and the external inquiry found that there were some significant issues that needed to be dealt with by the hospital, and those significant issues by the hospital were put in place by the management team that existed at the time. And he was a significant part of that management team. And therefore, we would expect that he would be a required person for the inquest.
Oh, I would have thought it's a no-brainer. I would have thought having him in the witness box for that coronial inquest would be very, very important. And I just make the point, as you well know, coroners don't have necessarily the power to compel witnesses to attend. We've seen that in the past. So if hypothetically he was or ended up in the near term overseas, he may not have to come back.
And that is the reality. I mean, I have no idea. Because there are no criminal charges or anything against him, clearly there are no issues around extradition that may exist in other cases.
No.
So it really is a case of us just asking for him to remain. And if he chooses not to, I'm not sure what jurisdictions exist to enforce that attendance and the giving of evidence, So it really is incredibly worrying. And I know that Mark Olson's also made the same point, that we worry about the fact that the timing of this is just 2 weeks out from the start of the actual full inquest.
Yes, the Nurses Union have said, and I quote Mark Olson, "I think the public have a right to be suspicious over the timing." Are the family concerned, Suresh?
Yes. Look, we've spoken to our lawyers, and no doubt they will have to take it up with the coroner's office or whoever. Yes, they are concerned that it does appear that it is the timing of it is just worrying immensely. Yes.
It could, of course, be a complete coincidence, but it's an interesting one.
Yes, the coincidence is possible, but I would have to say on the realms of possibilities, I would think it'll be fairly low that it would just happen to be coincidental.
Suresh, thanks a lot for your time this morning.
Thanks, Liam.
4 minutes to 10 on the morning program.